We ended with a very appropriate hymn, Amazing Grace. And I want to begin my sermon this morning with giving you a background to the wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. But before I get there, I want to remind us today, we have already embarked on a new year. The year is 8 days old. And today we meet corporately for the first time on a Sunday service like this for the year. And I thought it was very appropriate to reflect on the famous hymn that had its origin, Amazing Grace, that famous hymn that we love so much. It had its origin on January the 1st, 1773. Let me just read you an excerpt of this whole thing. So John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, is the most famous New Year's Day hymn in church history. This hymn was first unveiled to his rural congregation on January the 1st, 1773. In fact, the hymn Amazing Grace, I want you to note that the entire hymn is modeled after 1 Chronicles 17, which we will be looking at this morning. The entire hymn Amazing Grace is modeled after 1 Chronicles 17, a chapter, when you look at it, that speaks of King David's past, present, and future. Newton does the same, as we will look a little at Amazing Grace this morning. Newton does the same, reflecting on the past grace of God, the present grace of God, and the hope of future grace from God. It was really a fitting way to bring in the new year, and it was his annual pattern to do so. At the start of every year, John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, at the start of every year, Newton set aside a day to reflect on life. He was at one time a hardened sailor in the slave trade. Many of us would remember the story, the great blasphemer John Newton. He was broken and humbled and redeemed. And he was aware of the ongoing grace upholding his life. And his future was completely in the hands of God's mercy too. But when you notice something, like King David, Newton saw grace in 3D, past, present, and future. New Year was a special time of reflection and worship, and the practice was embedded in his personal discipline, and it became a hallmark of his pastoral work. He penned new hymns and sermons and personal letter every year to urge his friends to take time at the unveiling of a new year to stop and reflect on the grace of God. And I think it's an appropriate thing to do at the beginning of every year to stop and reflect on the ongoing grace of God. And I believe if Newton was around today, John Newton would encourage us to do the same. As God has given us a new year, stop. Pause, reflect on past grace, present grace, and the hope for future grace. In fact, in one of his letters, in one letter to a friend, Newton explains the discipline. Listen to what he wrote to a friend. He wrote, "New Year's finds me employed." Newton says, "I compare it to a hill on the road, from the top of which I endeavor to look back on the way that the Lord has led me thus far to the wilderness," that's the past. "I look around to contemplate the difference his goodness has made between my situation and that of thousands of my fellow creatures," that's the present. And then he goes on, he says, "I then look forward and perceive what I am drawing apace to my journey's end. I shall be home," that's the future. To another friend, Newton wrote, "I hope this new year will bring many blessings to you. The Lord is good. He has delivered, that's the past. He does deliver, that's the present. He will deliver, that's the future. Oh, what an altar, what an atonement, what a temple, what a priest, what a sun and a shield, what a savior, and what a shepherd we have. Church, this morning I thought it was very appropriate for us to sing Amazing Grace. Because that's where it starts for us. That's where the new year must begin for each and every individual. It should be a time of reflection. It should be a time whereby we look back and see where God has brought us. God has brought us safe so far. And God has brought us safe thus far. And as we see this morning, John Newton, amazing song of amazing grace. It got its inspiration from 1 Chronicles 17, which we are going to be looking at this morning. And you will notice in 1 Chronicles 17, church, that there are three major movements throughout this chapter. And your Bibles are open. Let's get going. Let's just get right into it. Verses 1 and 2, 1 Chronicles 17. It says here, "Now it came to pass as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.' Then Nathan said unto David, 'Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee.'" First, I want you to notice the first movement in 1 Chronicles 17. Church, notice, David is desiring to build a permanent temple for the glory of God. Folks, understand, here is King David. God has protected him so far. David had many, many enemies. Enemies even from his own house. His own son at one point wanted to kill him. His father-in-law wanted to kill him. Now, David has gotten to the point in his life now, and he is most settled. God has defeated all of David's enemies. And there is a relative peace, and there is relative calm in David's life. And now David is sitting back, and he's enjoying the fruits of his labor. And he has already built his own house of cedars, his own palace, his own mansion, if you would. And David is there, and he's looking around him, and David noticed that there are the Levites. The Levites are still transporting the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. The Ark of the Covenant, which is a visual representation of God. In fact, would you just turn back with me to 1 Chronicles 14? Let me just give you a little context here, verses 1 and 3. 1 Chronicles 14. Let me just show you how God has blessed David. It says, "Now Heron, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David," 1 Chronicles 14, "and timber of cedars and mason with carpenters to build him a house. And David perceived that the Lord had conferred him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. And David took more wives at Jerusalem, and David begat more sons and daughters." Folks, understand, God's good hand of blessing was on King David. And David recognized that. He's gotten to the place in which he had his own house now. Things are great. He's now sitting back and he's enjoying the fruit of his labor. But then he wasn't content. You know, sometimes in our life, as long as we are good, we think life is good. Sometimes in our life, as long as we have all that we want, we don't care about the neighbor over there who collapses around. And oftentimes we have this mindset, Lord, I am fine. I don't care about the world. The world could perish around us as long as we are fine. Not David, because look at this. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 17, as David is there in his house, verse number 2, David said, then Nathan said unto David, verse number 1, sorry, that Nathan said to David, David said to Nathan the prophet, sorry, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars." Literally, things are good with me, Nathan. But he says, "But the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." Notice here David's conversation with the prophet. He says, "Nathan, I am fine. I am well situated. Nathan, I am content. But this is not right. Why should I live like this? Why I should have all this stuff when God's house is being neglected? When the Ark of the Covenant, that visual representation of God, is continually being transported on the shoulders of the Levites." You know, as I think about this, church, I just wish to God, and hear me now, I'm going to step on some toes now. I just wish to God as we proceed this new year, that many of us would adopt this mindset. I just wish to God that when God, as we look back on our life and we look back at past grace and we're looking at present grace, where God has brought us from and where we are now, I just wish to God that we would say, Lord, what more can I do for you? Because that's what he's doing. David said to Nathan, listen, this is not right. I am enjoying the fruits of my labor, yes, but I need to do something about the Ark of the Covenant. I just wish to God that we would adopt that mindset. Because far too often as Christians, we all about ourselves. We all about setting up ourselves. And when it comes to the things of God and the house of God, that is just left over. That is for when I have some spare time, you hear me? And we need to change that mindset. Overwhelmingly, a lot of us, we do not have that mindset. God has blessed us with a good congregation here, members and non-members. People tripping at times. But there are some of us, we only give God the leftovers of our time. And we would only, you know, we just give God the leftovers. And I pray to God that we would really adopt this mindset. Because these days, it seems like there are times in which, as long as when church calls for something to be done and there is no immediate benefit to some people like food, they're not coming. Yeah, I know that's going to rub somebody the wrong way. If you ain't say we having lunch or providing something, some people ain't showing up. Because there's no immediate benefit. Their felt need is not being addressed. So it's all about me. And you can't serve God like that. Look how far God has brought you. So we are a gift to God out of a heart of gratitude like David. David looked at his life and he realized, look at how far God has brought me. Can I say some things this morning as we embark on a new year, church? I'm upset some people. I noticed that the church's cleaning list is getting smaller. And we only ask people to assist once every 6 weeks. But houses are being cleaned. I'm sure about that. I notice that attendance to Wednesday night Bible study is diminishing. People don't think Wednesday night Bible study is that important anymore. So people stay at home. Well, I had a hard day. I have a demanding boss. So people not showing up. I notice that the visitation program, which is twice a month, can never fit your schedule. Yeah. I notice that. Look at how far God has brought you. Look at how far God has brought you. Folks, what am I saying? When you look at David's mindset, David's desire was born out of a heart of gratitude. Folks, I think it is high time as we start a brand new year. Let me just stop. And let me pause and let me see what we are doing for God. Not only what we are doing, but why we are doing it and when we do it. We just cannot keep giving God the leftovers of our time because, listen, sometimes we show up to serve God and we don't tired. Showing up tired. The world don't use you. The world don't take the best of you. And all you have is the leftovers for God. I know somebody don't vex, you know. But Pastor Kirby ain't care. Amen? I'm preaching. I'm only for an audience of one. Look at what you have done for God. And David here, he was not looking for a reason or excuse, you know, to get out of something. He was looking for a reason or excuse to do something on behalf of God. Not what can I get out of, but what can I get in for God. Look for what I'm saying, church. Can I say this? I want all of us this year collectively to look for opportunities, more opportunities to serve God this year. And I think if we are totally honest, we get to the place we say, God, you have brought me this far. You have been good to me. And folks, maybe you can't do some of the things that I even mentioned there. Maybe for some reason, health reasons, you can't clean. Or for some reason where Wednesday night, you know, whatever. But what I'm saying, then you look for someone that you can serve. Create the ministry. Create a ministry, play to your strength, whatever your strength is. You say, Pastor Kirby, can I do that? And I have people here in this church that have done that. People here have came to me with reasons. Say, Pastor Kirby, what about if we do this? And I say, let's run with it. Find reasons. Find opportunities to serve God. And David did that. But I want you to notice something else here. David was desiring here to build a permanent temple for the glory of God. Verses 1 and 2. But look at verse number 3 and onwards. Hang with me now. And it came to pass the same night, verse number 3. Are you guys with me? Amen? Amen. The word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt what? Thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Are we reading the right thing? Here is David. He had good intentions. Amen? David is a man whom God has blessed tremendously. David stopped and he looked at his life and he says, God, I want to do this for you. And God says, no. Verse number 5, he says, for I have not dwelt in the house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? And he goes on to verses 7 onwards. What we see here is a reconfirmation of the great Davidic covenant. It says, now therefore thus shalt thou say to thy servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou walkest, and have cut off thine enemies from thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth, God is saying here. Also I have ordained a place for my people Israel, and would plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and they shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since that time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I will tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. It shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed, there we go, after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took from him that was set before thee. Folks, listen, what is happening here? Understand again, David came into the prophet and he says, I want to build a house for the Lord. I want to build a permanent temple for the glory of God. And God came to his prophet and God says, I want you to tell David, I don't want him to build me any house. You know, sometimes we have good ideas, but not all good ideas are God's ideas. Amen? Yeah, but I tell you, I have a million and one good ideas. The last 2 days, I took 2 days off this past week, and I went to Beckwith, which I normally would do at the beginning of every year. And I will go to Beckwith for a time of prayer, reflection, and planning for the entire year. Just by myself, I was there. And I'm talking to God about the ministry and what he would do. I had so many good ideas, but they were not all God's ideas. And God says, no, we can't do that. That's not the right thing to do at this point. Sometimes we have good ideas, but they're not all God's idea. And we must learn to differentiate between the two. And what we see here, Nathan informs David that he cannot build the temple. But God has promised that David's son, namely Solomon, will be able to build the temple of the Lord. And as I just said, this is really a reconfirmation of the Davidic covenant, which is found really originally stated in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 to 14, which promises three things. David's house, kingdom, and the throne will be established forever. That's what we call the Davidic covenant. Jesus Christ will be ultimately fulfill these promises at his second coming. He will rule and he will assume the throne of David. So we see that here. And so David requested to build a house for God. But what we notice here in this text, God promised instead that he will build a house for David, a royal dynasty. But you know what I like? And I want us to spend a few remainder of our time. I'm not going to be long this morning, and that's deliberate. What I like about this whole text, and I could see why Newton got the inspiration for Amazing Grace here. You know what God said to David didn't crush his spirit? How do you respond when someone says no to you? Does it crush your spirit? You know, sometimes you really desire something and you look at the something and you say, boy, I want to do this thing so much. And you look at this thing and it's a good thing. It's a godly thing. You might even, you know, come to the conclusion, your own view is that, man, this is good. This is right. This is a noble thing. And someone says, no, you can't do that thing. Because that's where we are right here. David wanted to do a good thing. David wanted to do a noble thing. And God says, no. And what is missing from 1 Chronicles 17? I'll tell you what is missing from this chapter. Some argument. That's what's missing. Some complaining. That's what's, because you don't find it here. God says no to David's big plan. And there's no arguing. There's no complaining. And later on you would read that God says, David, you can't build it, but your son will. But God never told him he can't help plan. God never told him he can't help contribute towards it. David helped with the planning and contributing towards it. And sometimes in life, we must understand that there might be times in our life that God may take away our dreams, but he will never take away our faith. Yes, he might take away your dreams. Things that you want to accomplish, he takes it away. And he gives you something better, by the way. Because sometimes not all of our desires are right and godly. And some days, instead of you praying for your desires, you need to say, God, change my desires. Some of our desires just need to be changed, amen? Because we don't always desire what God desires. So God says no to David's big plan. And David didn't get angry. He didn't get upset. Oftentimes, when we can't get to do what we want to do, we throw a temper tantrum. And we don't want anybody else to do it, by the way. You know, I believe so much could be accomplished for the glory of God if we're not so concerned about who gets the credit. Sometimes if our name is not on the document, we don't want to sign. We don't want to agree to nothing because we can't do it. But not David. So what I want us to do this morning, I wanted to spend the remainder of our time looking at David's response. Remember what had just happened. David wanted to build a temple for the Lord. God says, you're not going to build it. Your son Solomon is going to build it. David didn't cry. David didn't complain. I want us to look at David's response. And this is the final movement we would see. I'm going to read verses 16 through 18, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to use another translation. I'm going to read it out of the ESV just to give you a clearer rendering of this. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Let's read verses 16 to 18. We are looking at David's response. You guys with me? Look at David's response to what God says. It says here, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, are you guys with me? Are you listening? Amen. This is David's response. God says no. And David said in verse number 16, you can follow along in your King James. I'm reading from an ESV, by the way. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come and have shown me future generation, O Lord God. Verse number 18 now. What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant. Let's stop there. Folks, listen. What we see here, David now is praising God for his grace in his own life, his own family, and to the nation of Israel. Folks, listen, let me put it another way. In verses 16, 17, 18, what David is really saying, David says, Lord, you know what kind of man I am. Does that get your attention yet? Let me say it again. David is saying here in verses 16 and 17, 18, Lord, you know what kind of man I am. And Lord, you know what kind of people we are. Yet you, Lord, in your grace, have done amazing things for us. Can you make that personal now? When have you ever had that moment with God and you say, Lord, you know what kind of man I am? Folks, listen this morning. God knows exactly what kind of man you are. God knows exactly what kind of woman you are. He knows us inside and out. God knows exactly. Yet still, he, in his grace and his mercy, has brought us thus far. What a God. What a God. Some days, I know, you know, there are days, you know, we've all had moments in which, man, you don't even want to stomach yourself. Some days you get so frustrated with yourself for decisions and things that you've done. Some days you look back on your life and you say, man, I've been so stupid. I've been so disobedient. I've been so rebellious. I have sinned against God. God knows that. But yet, he has brought us safe thus far. God has brought us safe thus far. You see, when we start to look at life like that, boy, go humble you, you know. When God don't give you little things what you want because he has something better for you, you're gonna behave yourself still. So we need to look at life through the lens like how David did. Because really, when you look at this text, folks, understand, David is simply overwhelmed by the grace of God. He's surprised by grace. Have you ever been there in your life when you're just totally surprised by the grace of God? Grace just so overwhelms you. Grace surprised you that you get there and you say, oh God, my cup is full. I'm drinking from the saucer now. Folks, you got to look at life like that. God has brought us safe thus far. You know how many people didn't make it to see 2017? You know how many people didn't make it to see this year? But God has brought us safe thus far. But notice something in the text. Oh God, you have brought me safe thus far. But the other thing that we see in the text, you have promised. God, you have brought me safe thus far, but you have promised to go farther than me through my son. You see, God wanted David to know, David, your legacy doesn't end with you. Your legacy will go on. You have brought me safe thus far, but God has promised to go farther than David through his son, Solomon. Isn't that amazing? That God's grace, we can look back at the past, what God has done and where he has brought us from, and we can rejoice and we can give thanks for that. And then we can look at our present situation, what God is doing, his present grace that he, you know, as one pastor say, Lord has delivered, he does deliver, and he will deliver past, present, and future grace. We can see all that. But the grace of God wants to go farther than us as well, and will go farther than us. That's the amazing thing. God has brought us safe thus far. Amazing God. Amazing grace. Now what I want to do, I want to show you something that maybe you've never noticed before. Because you see, where John Newton is concerned, the new year afforded Newton the reminder to meditate on the grace of God. I want us to take a moment now and read through Newton's hymn. We're going to read slowly, meditatively, as we reflect on how God has delivered, is delivering, and will finally deliver his children. So turn with me in your hymnals to 336. And let's look at this famous hymn. We're not going to sing. We're going to read. I want to show you, as Newton wrote verses 1 and 2. Notice with me this morning. Stanzas 1 and 2 shows the past grace of God. Look at what it says here in stanzas 1 and 2. Hymn number 336. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved, past tense, a wretch like me. I once was lost, past tense, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Look at stanza number 2. Again, this shows past grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious, Newton wrote, did that grace appear the hour I first believed. So in verses, stanzas 1 and 2, Newton is reflecting on the past grace of God. Stanza number 3, he's reflecting now on the present grace of God. So look at stanza number 3, he's talking about present grace now. He says, through many dangers, toils, and snare, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He's thinking about, God, this is what you're doing for me now. And stanza number 4, future grace. The Lord has promised good to me. See, he's anticipating. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Oh, church, this morning, I want us to have this mindset of God. That God, you know what? You have brought me safe thus far. God, you are a good God. And as I go through life, there are things that you will not allow me to have. There are things you will not allow me to do. But Lord, it is okay. It is perfectly fine. Because as I look at my life, oh boy, I am a blessed child of God. You see, when you appreciate that, you're not going to murmur and complain. When you start appreciating what God has done for you, is doing for you, wants to do for you in the future, and so on and so forth, you wouldn't complain because you're surprised, you are overwhelmed by the grace of God. So folks, I encourage you this year, as we embark on a new year, think, reflect, meditate on the grace of God. He has brought us safe thus far. God has been good to us and will be good to us and is good to us. And we must thank him for that this morning. As I close this morning, I have a word to say to those in our congregation who have never accepted this amazing grace. You're here this morning, and yes, you enjoy the sunlight of God. You breathe in and out his air. God has provided food, clothing, and shelter for you. But truth of the matter is, you are not a child of God. You're doing things your way, and you're heading nowhere fast, by the way. And in fact, what you're getting ready to do this year is to live it just like you lived it last year. But folks, I want to offer you an alternative this morning. I want to offer you another option this morning. This morning you can come and you can say, Lord, I am tired. Lord, I don't want to live 2017 like I lived 2016. Oh God, I need an intervention. Because that's what you need. You need an intervention this morning. And that intervention comes through the person of Jesus Christ. Because I challenge you this morning, if you are planning, thinking that you're going to get away this year with what you think you got away with last year, you may have another thing coming, my friend. God is a patient God. And he is slow to anger, but as we said some time ago, he don't say no to anger. God has given you time to repent. And you're here this morning in church. This morning you can come and embrace Jesus Christ this morning, the one who shed his blood for your sins. Aren't you just tired of being tired about your situation? Some people, all they complain, they're just continually being tired about their situation. Oh, something needs to be done, and they could be murmuring, they complain, but they will never put their faith and trust in Jesus. These are people, they have tried everything in life. Listen, maybe you've tried women. Maybe you've tried alcohol, and you've tried drugs, and you've tried all these things. Please try Jesus. And if you don't like him, the devil will gladly take you back. But give Jesus a chance this morning to work in your life. Give God a chance to do something. Make something beautiful of your life. Yes, you have made mistakes, but you can't keep looking back and keep looking to these mistakes. You can forge forward this morning. You can allow God to clean the slate. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. What a wonderful place to start at the beginning of the year for you to just surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Kirby, you don't know me. You don't know half this stuff I'm going through. That is true, I don't know you, but God knows you. God knows you. And God can make something beautiful of your life. Because again, his grace has brought you safe so far. And he wants to do more in your life. This morning, I invite you to please stand with me this morning. Go ahead and please stand with me.